Hello, welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
So, Jimmy, welcome back. What have you been up to lately?
Well, let me think. This is tough. I feel like I haven't done anything super eventful. I don't know. Minor life goal accomplishment. I started a coding class a long time ago, and I finally finished. So, I'm slightly smarter now. It just took a long time.
Oh, that's a good win, though. Like, any win, no matter how long it takes, is still a good win.
Though, now, I'm not going to share it now. I'll talk to you about it later. But I do have a idea for an app that I want to try to create. Because I know I need to start creating some kind of, like, portfolio project stuff. And I think this app would be a fun thing to do. I'll tell you after we record, because I don't want to share my idea with the world. I trust you. I don't trust our listeners. Well, I love you, listeners. We're just not on the trust level yet. Maybe episode 42, I feel differently. But 27, it's still like we're on a first date.
Yeah. And it's also, you kind of don't want to, I mean, until you like get something going, you don't want to put it out there or whatever. Granted, the one rule I've always learned, especially here in San Francisco, is if you have an idea, chances are high there's like 20 other people who have it. So now it's just like a race against execution, like being able to make it happen.
This is true. Though, if I'm not able to make this happen, please someone make it happen, because this is like something I would like to have. So that's kind of, I guess that's what I've been up to a little bit. What about you?
Not much. So we recorded our episode last week. Since then, been doing jury duty, which I'm not a fan of. I mean, so I've like a mixed feelings of jury duty. So like on one hand, you know, it's disruptive and stuff, but on the other hand, I'm like, I get it. It's my civic duty, and I can't really complain about the, you know, the justice system and whatnot. And then when I get a chance to participate in the justice system and, you know, make a contribution, I walk away from it. So, you know, that's kind of always been my take on things. So it's like, okay, yes, I want to do my civic duty, but I'm also just like, oh, but I've got so much work coming up this week or this month. So
wait, were you selected?
No, they're still doing that whole process of narrowing down 100 people to 12. So, you know, I think there's like another day or two left of it. And then either I'm selected or I'm not. I have been selected for a jury panel before, though, like a few years ago.
I have too. I was going to ask you if you have. I do have a, I don't know if it's a funny story, but I was on a jury panel and this lady was fighting a speeding ticket, which I admit, like, I applaud, like, okay, go for it. She was speeding in construction zone. And once she said this one sentence, I felt like all us jury members were like, she's guilty. But she said that, how can she tell the difference between the Hispanic construction workers and just Hispanic people standing around?
Yeah.
And I was like,
unless that was literally the only indicator, like they weren't even wearing the orange vests or helmets or anything, like if and there were no signs or barriers or cones or whatever, that's the only way I could see her argument maybe working out.
No, I mean, she didn't say that. The gist we got was that, you know, she can't tell the difference. And it was a very quick jury thing, and I made $5, which I donated, because it's really weird, because they're like, do you want to donate this money that we're giving you as a civic duty? And it's like, well, it's such a small amount. It's weird to just take it. Yeah, it's like, I don't know. And then, like, my work paid me for that day anyway, so doesn't really matter.
Yeah, the $5 pretty much just like covers gas to get there.
This is, but I do want to be a part of, like, a really big trial, you know, like something someone's going to podcast in the future.
I do, but I don't. Like, I wouldn't mind being on a big trial, but also, like, just being away from everything for 3 months or whatever would suck.
Okay, I have a question. I don't know, you're probably not going to know the answer, but do you think when you're sequestered, you can still, like, online game?
Probably not. So, if you're sequestered, they want to make sure you don't get any outside information. Yeah. And, like, online gaming, people could still, like, you know, in the chat room or whatever, say things like, oh, did you hear about this and this or whatever?
Can you watch TV?
No, you cannot. They do...
Or is it, like, movies? They, maybe they bring you movies?
Yeah, they could bring you movies because technically, like, there's no news or information in the movie, so they could bring you DVDs, well, I guess Blu-rays nowadays or something. Probably, or if they had, like, a device that only streamed, maybe.
I think you need to be selected for this jury, and you gotta let me know when you're... I guess when you're at a sequester, because you couldn't let me know during sequestering.
But yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I think it's only special trials, like huge, huge trials that are sequestered, like ones that everybody is talking about and that would be in the news and it would be almost impossible for you to go home and not hear about it. So like, I'm thinking like the OJ trial and whatnot, like it was in the news, stuff was like almost every day. When the jury wasn't in session, stuff was coming out. People were on Larry King and Hard Copy and whatever other shows existed in the 90s. So the thing is, like, the court wants to be fair and unbiased, or as fair and unbiased as it can be. So the idea is, like, the jury can only hear information that is introduced into the courtroom, not information from any other source. So that's kind of how they approach it. So, like... If it's not a high-profile trial, they probably won't sequester you because it's not like there'll be a lot of information and they can just do the honor system. But, like, a high-profile trial where there's, like, a really good chance that you'll accidentally... Like, even if you're trying your absolute best to avoid information, it's still very easily stumble into something.
This is true. I guess maybe I don't want to be. I don't know. I guess it depends what point in my life. Maybe it would be a good vacation away from everything. Was a social media cleanse.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind it, but you're also, like, very limited on conversations because they monitor your calls as well. And you probably wouldn't get a phone or anything to text because it'd be hard for them to monitor texting and then... I don't know. I guess if you got, like, a phone just for texting, but, yeah, it'd be really hard. Granted, and by no means am I a criminal justice expert or whatnot, but I don't think sequestering happens all that often. I think it's just, like, in extremely high-profile cases that they'll do that.
Yeah, but, well, good luck. Do you want to get picked or do you not want to get picked?
Either way, like, on one hand, I don't want to get picked because of how disruptive it will be, to my life. But on the flip side, I do want to do my civic duty, and, like, I'm not a perfect person, but I do like to think that I'm pretty objective and wouldn't let my personal feelings or emotions get in the way of my judgment and my ability to view the evidence. So I feel like I would also be a just juror. So it's kind of, you know, we'll see where the cards lay, or where the cards fall. But, you know, we actually do have, I wouldn't call it jury, but we do have a court-like episode later that we'll be doing. But for King of the Hill, a few episodes. Actually, we might bring Mark back on that one because that's one of his favorite episodes too. But for today, we are doing a not courtroom-oriented one. Yes, that was a terrible segue, called The Exterminator. This one is season 5, episode 14. This is one of the few very Dale-heavy episodes, and it's funny because you kind of get into Dale's mind a little bit. And also, considering the fact that Mike Judge is the creator of the show, it does have a few, like, Office Space vibes to it. So it's kind of funny because it's just the idea of Dale being in a normal 9-to-5 office job and trying to make it work is a funny premise. Let's see. So we start an episode. Dale's on the job doing his his exterminator thing, and he's going to kill. And he goes to the person's house, and the person's like, "Oh yeah, I saw a rat and it ran away. I'm glad you came." And he brings out his little a black light or whatever, and he's like, "Oh, the male rat, unlike a human, drags his testes around so it leaves a urine trail." So he picks up the urine trail, he follows it to a vent, and then he gets his spray wand ready and stuff, and the guy is, rightfully concerned, like, shouldn't you be wearing a mask? And he's like, Mask. He doesn't care. So he goes in, he crawls, and then he sprays like an enormous amount of spray to kill the rat. And it's worth pointing out, it's one rat and it's cornered. There's no reason he couldn't just pick up the rat. And he's wearing gloves too, so it's not like he could bite through the gloves. But he insists on, like, in this confined space, making the... doing that spray. And then, of course, the spray, the poison's too much, the rat dies, and Dale passes out. We see in the hospital, Dale wakes up, and he's confused what's going on, and Hank's looking over him, and, Dale's like, "Oh, where am I? They harvest my organs," stuff like that. He's like, "No, Dale, you're in the hospital, you passed out, and I guess I'm your emergency call," and Dale's like, "You're the only person that has nothing to gain for my death, so that's why I put him in there." And the doctor comes in and tells him, 22 years of inhaling poison has eroded your sinuses and coated your lungs with this unidentified substance that Dale insists that he wants back. And doctor advises that Dale quit as he can't handle any more poison, and he won't live past 50. And of course, doctor says he's rounding up. And then Dale's like, "Oh, well, Hank, don't tell Nancy because she'll take the side of the doctor." And Hank's like, "Oh, I already told her." And Dale's like, "What?" And then Peggy comes in. He's like, "You told her too? That's it, Hank. You're officially relieved as my emergency contact. Peggy, you're in." And Peggy's like, "You will not regret it."
I think Peggy was waiting for them. Like, that's probably the only reason Peggy tagged along. She was like, "You're gonna slip up one day, Hank, and I'm gonna make my way in there."
Yeah. Yes. He's. I guess it's weird that Dale makes Hank the emergency contact because he does have a wife. And it's kind of implying that he doesn't trust his wife not to, like, have him killed or whatever. It's funny. And it just still makes me laugh that, one, Dale's supposedly a professional exterminator, yet he doesn't understand the concept of not inhaling poison.
I mean, how professional, like... We use that term very loosely.
That's true. Well, a guy is hiring him to do the work. Let's put it that way. It's not just Hank or like a friend hiring him. So I guess semi-professional, maybe?
I mean, well, I think, I don't know. Like, Dale's like a renegade exterminator, in my opinion. He's like, "I don't do it by the books." They would make like a buddy cop show about Dale's life if Netflix wasn't going out of business.
That's true. Well, then they also have, they mention in several episodes how Dale essentially is not licensed or bonded or anything. So yeah, he's probably an illegal exterminator, but probably nobody cares because he doesn't do, like, either he does a decent enough job to where they're like, okay, whatever. Or he's just, like, nobody hires him, and so they're just like, okay, whatever. And we get an indication later that it is very possible that no one hires him. So Dale is back at home, and he's, like, walking around looking for his rat urine detector, and Nancy says she donated it to charity. And Dale's like, oh, I loved it, and, you know, I loved my job as an exterminator. You can't follow that quack. And, you know, she's like, but, you know, we need you. And it's like, well, I need to go out there and provide for the family. And Nancy's like, I'm the breadwinner of the family. And Dale's like, well, I help. And then she's like, you pay the cable bill. So that kind of shows us how little Dale actually contributes. Funny, but then essentially she's like, you know, what happened to your dream about wanting to see Joseph take his son to see Roswell? And Dale relents and's like, all right. He goes to the basement and he's looking like through his old stuff because, you know, I guess reminiscing, he's kind of sad about everything. And he's looking at his employee of the month placard that has like, you know, it's like the wooden placard, and then it has like the little plates on it for like each month and the employee's name. And it's funny because they all say Dale Gribble, except for one that says Rusty Shackelford. So, but yeah, the Joseph comes down, he's looking for roaches, and Dale's like, oh, you know, what do you know about roaches? They've been here for millions of years, and you've been here, what, 13? And Joseph was like, yeah, I know those are Madagascar hissing cockroaches in the terrarium there. Joseph needs it for a science project. And Dale's like, oh, very good. Well, let's make you an amazing science project. Let's breed servant roaches. So basically the idea is like when the roaches hatch, if they see Dale as the first thing, they'll think Dale's the mom and print on them, and then Dale will be able to order them to do stuff. And, you know, Joseph's like, oh, can we train them to crawl through a maze? And Dale's like, oh, we'll train them to do worse things than that.
I've always wanted one. Like, as a kid, did they ever bring them to you, like, your elementary school?
Don't know. Like, I know I've seen bug guys before where they bring, like, roaches and praying mantises and all that junk. But yeah, I mean, beyond that, I don't know. Like, I don't remember them coming to the school, but I do remember, like, bug people. Like, maybe it was more like the other way around. We took a field trip to, like, a bug place or whatever.
I just remember I always wanted one. Like, I was like, oh, they can be pets? I don't know if my parents would have appreciated that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess. I think my sister had a tarantula at one point in high school. That's about all I remember pet-wise, or insect, or I guess a tarantula is technically not an insect, but bug-wise.
A tarantula? Oh.
Yeah. Which, I mean, technically aren't poisonous. But apparently have one of the most painful spider bites. So it's like, okay, well, it won't kill me, but it won't feel good either. So.
But, I mean, to harness the powers of the hissing cockroach, I feel like that will come in handy.
Yeah. I mean, if you can, like, that's like some Ant-Man level stuff right there. Like, if he was actually able to successfully control them and whatever, he can just have a bunch of hissing cockroaches going around and, I don't know, doing his laundry or whatever. I mean, he could have them do his work for him and earn him a living.
Oh, wait, I don't want to be like, get my information from King of the Hill, but is that true? They, like, imprint?
Cockroaches, I have absolutely no idea, but I'm leaning towards no. I know there are some animals that can. I don't know which ones there are, but I know there is, like, such a concept of animal imprinting on stuff. I don't think roaches are one of them.
It would be cool to have an army of roaches.
Well, Nancy doesn't think it'll be cool, because Nancy comes back and sees that, one, the place is a mess. Like, you'd think, oh, Dale's home all day. He can at least, you know, clean while I'm going out and working and earning a living and everything. But no, he's not. And, you know, he's just been spending all day with Joseph, which I guess Joseph doesn't have school, which is kind of weird when you think about it, because I'm thinking, okay, it's summer, but then why does, okay, maybe it's summer and that's why he doesn't have school, but then why does he have a school project? So Dale's all day with Joseph and they're working on the cockroach project. And then Nancy goes to the refrigerator and it's like, oh, where's the meat that I was going to make for dinner? And Dale's like, oh, well, I fed it to the roaches. Dale is now sitting in the lawn chair in the alley. He's already there, ready to meet all the guys. And he's, for whatever reason, wearing a hospital gown. The guys show up, and, you know, Bill's already on his stuff. Like, oh, I saw Richie Sambora. And, you know, Hank's like, no, you didn't. And Dale's been loitering all day, and Hank's like, you know, part of the nice thing about coming to the alley, Dale, is that we're able to kind of unwind from work, but, you know, you're not working, so... Then Dale gets all angry, and he's like, oh, how dare you say I'm not working? Have you ever tried to replace a cockroach with blood with root beer? And Hank's like, you know I haven't. And then Dale's like, well, I have. And then he walks away, or he tries to get a beer, and his hospital gown opens up and everybody's upset. So Hank decides to check in on Nancy and figure out what's going on. And Nancy's like, oh, she's upset because all Dale does is work on the cockroaches and make prank calls. You know, he called, how many times he's called me to ask me to change my long distance provider. And then Hank's like, oh, that was him. So it's showing that Dale is bothering Hank, too. And then, you know, he keeps leaving messages at my desk saying that he's, you know, he's waiting for me to come home and have sex. And then Nancy essentially says, like, you know, do something, talk to Dale. So Hank goes down to the basement to talk to Dale. And, you know, Hank, being a prude, wants to talk about, like, their sex life and stuff without actually talking about it. So he's like, oh, you know, you used to brag a lot about being with Nancy and stuff. And he's like, yes, like, have you been with her lately? And he's like, no, I think it's because of my diet. What's the opposite of oysters? And Hank's like, maybe. Or maybe it's because you're home all day. Nothing is sexier than having a 9-to-5 job. And then Hank is like, you know my cousin Rita? Dale's like, the one with the other underbite? And Hank's like, yeah. Well, she quit that adhesives company, and I put a good word in for you, and so you're going to start tomorrow. And then Dale's like, it's going to be hard to understand anything she says with that underbite. So Dale's being kind of a jerk in general. So, yeah, I think it looks like we're going to finally see Dale doing a 9-to-5, which I guess you can all kind of makes it's kind of funny to think about because he's like not a 9-to-5 person. But when you really think about it, we never see Boomhauer doing a 9-to-5 either. So
this is true. Yeah, I don't know. Boomhauer is not in the alley all the time, though. But we do see him like in the mornings. I don't know. This is a interesting because you and I have both finished King of the Hill. So we know more about Boomhauer than someone who's just following along with the podcast. So I don't want to give anything away, but that's interesting thinking of what his occupation is.
Yeah, it's funny because they never even like bring it up. Like even in the alley, they're never like, oh, Boomhauer, how was it over at the, you know, whatever, or, you know, it never comes up. But, you know, whatever. So Dale's at home. He's dressed up. He's getting ready, and, you know, he's like, I can type 30 words per minute, which, for those of you, well, pretty much everybody would probably know that's not exactly a fast time. Hank drives Dale to work and says that Dale looks great in a suit, but apparently it's Joseph's suit, and Dale is like, oh, you know, you didn't have to drive me over. It's not like I was going to play hooky or anything, and then... Hank is like, that's not what Bobby said. And it's like, well, Bobby's a liar and a blabbermouth. Hank is like, come on, Dale, everyone likes a hard worker. And then Dale's like, of course they do, because they're doing all the work. So Dale's not thrilled about us going to work and being a normal person. He gets to Stick Tech, and, like, this is definitely Office Space. Like, you know, I think it's like it's like Mike Judge had some leftover Office Space stuff, and he decided to use some of the leftover concepts for this episode, because he has like this a woman, Miss Pittman, as I guess like his manager or like a vice president of HR. I don't recall they ever actually say what her role is, but she is pretty much the foil to Dale, and she is onboarding him. And first, she admonishes him for being a minute late, and he's like, "What? No, I'm not a minute. I'm not a minute late. My clock says 9:01. Oh wait, you start at 9 on the dot." And then, you know, Pittman's like, "Oh well, Dale, we're a team, and a team is only as strong as its weakest link, and that's you right now." Oh. And then Dale's like, "That's fine." And he gets ready to smoke a cigarette. He's like, "Oh, there's no smoking at Stick Tech." And he's like, "I get it. You got to tell everybody that." And then she takes the cigarettes away. He's like, "Also, no sunglasses unless you can prove that you're blind." Takes that. It's like, "Also, no hats unless yarmulke's under 8 inches in diameter." She takes away the hat. And she's like, "Oh, you're bald. And not in a sexy way like Sean Connery." And she's like, "Here's your cubicle." And then he walks away. Or, excuse me, Miss Pittman walks away, and just you see like the dead expression in Dale now that he knows that he's like stuck with office life.
Ah, man. I know we were talking about this a little before we were recording, but man, she is just one of those people that you give a little power to and they become Thanos, basically.
Yeah, she is like, I've never had a boss like her. But I think that would, like, drive me to quit if I had a boss like her. Because, yeah, she loves the power. Definitely what I would describe as a company woman, because she is, like, too... I guarantee, like, she recites... I guarantee she recites the whole employee handbook, like, at night from memory before she goes to bed. Oh. She could probably, like, bring up specific codes or policies, like, well, Section 9 says, or, you know, whatever, things like that. I guarantee you she's that person.
Yeah, to be just so unaccommodating right off the bat, I don't know. But we're not supposed to like her, so I guess she's doing a good job.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not even that she's unaccommodating. She's also just plain rude, too. Like, the hair comment was annoying. Like, that's just mean. Like, I could get her saying, "Oh, you know, hats aren't part of the, you know, aren't part of the work uniform or work attire or whatever." But like adding on the comments and like rubbing salt into the wound, that was uncalled for.
It was. Oh, not in the Sean Connery way. Oh man. And then I was like, "Is Sean Connery bald?" I guess I don't remember.
Yeah, yeah, he is. I mean, he wasn't always bald, but like, you know, towards the last, I'd say 20 years of his life or whatnot, he was bald, or at least balding. He like had some hair like on his back of his head, but like he was bald in the same kind of way Dale was bald, where he's bald on the top, but then he has kind of hair on the side.
Was he bald in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
That okay, I do yeah, not really remember. Yes. I legit don't remember. Man, it's been so long since I've seen that movie.
That was his last movie.
That can't have been his last movie. Yeah, he was bald.
It did so bad that he quit acting.
Or he was balding, I guess. Yeah, you can see that he has thin hair, but he wasn't quite there yet. No, he's not bald there. But then again, it might have been a toupee or something. I don't know.
Sean Connery.
I didn't think it was that bad of a movie. Like, it wasn't the best movie I ever saw, but...
Okay, I'm going to throw this out there. Not that this is a Sean Connery podcast. Though, I will say, I think... Because we're this like similar age. I would say that it came out at a time that was aimed towards us.
I guess.
Like, young adolescent. Like, the movie just was, like, fun action. And, like...
Yeah, that's true.
Vampires and mythical creatures and stuff.
Well, it's also based loosely on an actual, like, comic series. Because, like, I guess some British writers or whatnot were looking at... And this is... Keep in mind, this is before, like, the MCU or DCEU or any of that stuff. So, you know, they're like, oh, well, you know, in the comics in America, they have the Justice League where, you know, all of the DC characters team up, and they have the Avengers where all the Marvel characters team up. We should have something where all, like, the British heroes team up. So, like, they took all the literary heroes and made them, and, like, I guess not show that they all live in a shared universe and they team up to be the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
So it was his last acting on screen thing. And then he just did like three or four voiceover things after that.
No, that happens, I guess. He was already, he was already up there in age anyway. I mean, I could see at some point just being like, you know what? I did what I did. I've had a good run at it. I kind of want to stop.
I could see that making a bad movie. You know, like, I've done what I wanted to do, and any more bad movies just hurt my, like, you know, tarnish my career. So I should just stay on top.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, just probably just done. Like, at some point, I think you want to... Oh, maybe not. I'm sure there's some people who just love the craft or whatever. But I think at some point you just want to kind of stop and, like, just enjoy life.
True. I wouldn't work anymore.
Enjoy retirement or something.
If I won the lottery, I'd be like, I'm good, guys. I don't need to do this anymore.
Yeah, indeed. So we see the next day, Dale's getting up really early, like earlier than what's normal for Dale, even so much that Nancy points out. And, you know, he's got to get ready for the carpool. And, you know, well, why are you up so early? Well, because of where I am in the route. And Rodriguez is the last person we get, so they can't come and get me last, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, he's like, and, you know, it's this place is so terrible because, you know, Miss Pittman won't let me have lunch when I need, you know, I need to eat my meals in like nine small meals throughout the course of the day or whatever. So he's upset that he like has an actual lunch hour instead. He gets into the carpool and I guess, you know, there's office gossip about Frank and Linda being seen at Bennigan's, and then Rodriguez shows up and Dale, you know, it's like, hey, how was the end of the Today Show? And Rodriguez is like, oh, not as good as the beginning of Regis. So kind of gloating that he gets to wake up a little later because of the carpool. And we see Dale's cubicle. He has pictures of his wife, Joseph, and a roach. Not all in the same picture, like three separate pictures, but he has those. Those are the only pictures. He's doing an invoice entry, and he's like just reading out everything he's doing, which if I were sitting next to him, I'd be annoyed. I'm sure most people would. It's like, come on, can you just not think about what you're doing? Or at the very least, just mumble it to yourself. Don't say it in like a very audible way. He also like took a newspaper and made like, you know, a hat out of it. Miss Pittman walks by. It's like, oh, you know, it's a hat rule. You can't wear it. She takes it away. And you know, it's like any more mess ups, and you're gonna you won't be able to participate in Casual Friday. And then he's like, "Oh, by the way, I moved your lunch up to 4 p.m. Because the receptionist is gonna be out; she's at lunch. So, why even bother at that point? Why give somebody a lunch at 4 p.m. if their job ends at 5? But yeah, I don't know. It's funny that they're just, he's getting so much abuse. And he comes back from the alley, he's dropped off from the carpool, and you hear him yell, you know, up yours, Rodriguez, as he's walking into the alley. And Hank's like, oh, what's new in the world of adhesives, Dale? Like, trying to put a positive spin on it. And then he's like, oh, Special Project F. You know, we're working on adhesive envelopes with multiple flavors like cherry and mango and pina colada. And Hank's like, speaking strictly as a consumer, I can't wait for that product to hit the market. What about you, Boomhauer? And you could, Boomhauer's just not been in it. He's like, oh, well, okay, cool. At home, Dale's eating dinner, and Joseph's like, Dad, since you're gone all the time, can we leave the roaches at your office? And Dale's like, up yours, Joseph. And then Nancy's like, Shuggy's like, oh, sorry, it's just the fluorescent lighting and the pounding headache and Miss Pittman. It's just, it's like, oh, you know, Dale, come on, please make time for the roaches. We see at the Bugobago, Dale is removing the ant. We probably don't mention it before, but those of you who watch the episode, you do know that, or watch any of the episodes, Dale's van that he drives around has like a giant dead queen ant on the top of it. And apparently since it's his turn to drive in the carpool and the underground parking has a clearance, he's removing it. And Hank's like, oh, why don't you just remove the antennae? And Dale's like, why don't you just remove Bobby's legs? So, yeah, Dale is not caught out for office work. That is much as clear. Gosh, I don't know. It's funny, but also kind of, I guess, sad to see Dale in this state.
I think it's because, like, I don't know. Some people aren't made for office work. You know, when Dale is a creative, I feel like. And I don't think he's, like, meant to be in a cubicle.
Maybe, I guess. I also think he doesn't like to actually work. Because they mention, like, if all he's doing is bringing in money, like, to pay, like, all he can do is he can pay for the cable, clearly he's not making a living wage. Like, maybe he gets, like, one or two suckers who will pay him to spray or whatever a month, and the rest of the time he's just, you know, messing around or whatever. So that's probably also what he's upset about too, is that he just, like, that's my thought, is that he just doesn't get to do what he wants to do.
Maybe, but I don't know. I guess the other option is, couldn't we retrain Dale? Or is his lungs is the problem, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, they could retrain him, but I don't think he wants to. And I mean, you do bring up a good point, though. Like, what if they found a job that he would actually enjoy doing? Well, like, maybe that's it. They got him a job at an office that he doesn't like, where he's clearly just doing data entry for invoices.
Well, I mean, I don't think we're going to go over this episode, but there is an episode where Dale tries to learn another vocation, and he picks something that he's really interested in. So, I mean, there is another job that, like, or another skill that Dale is really interested in. Though I don't think it is it's not a very practical one.
Yeah, I don't think even if he did do it, I don't know that he might make some money, and arguably he might make more money than he might make more money than like what he was doing at Dale's Dead Bugs, but still. Let's see here. So, moving on, we're at Stick Tech and we're in like the office, like in the break room or whatever, break room, cafeteria, whatever you want to call it. And Miss Pittman is talking to another employee about like how they have to fire Bert, but neither one of them want to do it because, you know, this other employee has been with Bert as long as she has for 19 years. So they've known each other for a long time. And Miss Pittman's like, oh, I can't do it. I was married to him briefly in the 80s. and then so Dale's like, wine, wine, wine. What's such a big deal about firing people? Heck, I used to kill things for a living. And so, you know, Miss Pittman's like, you've never met Bert, have you? Huh, so you probably have no emotional attachment to him. will you do the firing for him? And then Dale's like, throw in a carton of milk and you've got a deal. Dale goes to Miss Pittman's office to meet with Bert. And it's funny because Dale gets his own like ugly comment to Miss Pittman. He picks up one of the pictures off her desk and is like, oh, this is a pretty good looking kids for two ugly people. Bert walks in, is like, oh, I was expecting Miss Pittman. And then Dale's just like, give me 30 seconds to tell me why you should keep your job. And, you know, Bert's taken aback. He's like, what? And then Dale's like, too late, you're fired. And then Miss Pittman comes in and is like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I just heard the news. And then Miss Pittman's like, Dale, there's this another employee. I just can't stand looking at him. Will you fire him for us? And then he's like, you know my price. Another carton of milk. He goes over to Gladstone's office and fires Gladstone. And Miss Pittman's like, I tried to fight for you. And all of a sudden, Miss Pittman's like really impressed with Dale's ability to just fire people and not care. Like, just move on from it. He's just like, I fired you and now I'm moving on with my life. I don't care. Just no emotional attachment whatsoever, which I think kind of would make him a sociopath, but I digress. She's like, you know, hey, how would you like to make this your permanent job? And Dale's like, what, firing Gladstone? So he opens the door and he says, hey, Gladstone. And then Miss Pittman closes the door and is like, no, I mean, firing people, like, you know, we're having to downsize the Dallas laboratory. The pina colada flavoring has been killing the lab monkeys left and right. And so they make Dale like the official firing person. Dale comes home and he mentions to Nancy that he is the assistant vice president of HR now. And Nancy finds that all attractive, everything. And so she's turned on and they go and make love and everything. So maybe that's just Dale's thing. Maybe he just likes, quote unquote, killing things. Like, I wouldn't say that firing is the exact same thing as killing. Like, obviously, you're still alive. But it's not great either.
I feel like Dale, oh my gosh, I'm going to keep calling him Dave this whole time. I think Dale also loves the power, so, you know.
That's true, and then we do see, like, in the next scenes that they even gave him an office, so he's upgraded from a cubicle to an office, so, like, now he's got power, and now he's got respect and everything. We see, like, we actually see at Stick Tech, there's some guys walking by, some just random employees, and they're talking about how heartless Dale is, and how, you know, Dale fired a guy at his own birthday party. He walked in, blew out the candles, and told him to leave. So Dale's in office and he's showing it off to Nancy, Hank, and Peggy. And Hank is such a Hank because he's just like, oh, you got four grounded outlets in here. So, like, that is what impresses him. Not just that Dale is upgraded to an office or has a nice title or anything like that. And then Nancy's like, oh, I brought a picture in for you. You know, you can take it off the desk if we ever need to do anything. It's like, yeah, that's great. I'll just move the roaches out of the cabinet. So they're getting ready to go to lunch, but then all of a sudden this guy named Lewis walks by the door and Dale's like, Lewis, come here. And then he's like, oh, yes. And then Dale's like, how long have you been working here? And Lewis is like, 14 years next week. And Dale's like, no, you're fired. And of course, obviously, he doesn't react well to it, but it really, really upsets Nancy to see that. And, you know, Dale's also really heartless, and he's like, but, he's like, no excuses here. We got a steak waiting for us, and they bounce. At home, Nancy is sad because she's just like, I can't get that image out of my head of that guy that, you know, you fired and how sad he was. And Dale wants to be intimate, but she's just not interested at this point. And at the carpool, here's a good example of how Dale is abusing his power. At the carpool, Rodriguez is sitting in the front seat, and then he's like, if you don't want your kids to see you fired, you better get out of that seat. And Rodriguez goes into the back seat. So, yeah, Dale is definitely a jerk now. Like, it's not even a power thing. Like, he's just a jerk to people.
I don't know. I don't know very ends of... I haven't worked at too many companies in my life. But is there someone there just to fire people? I thought HR usually does this.
It's usually HR, your manager. But, you know, maybe... It sounds like they literally just made up this role because none of them had the guts to actually do the firing, and Dale is able to do it without any regard.
Also, can Dale just fire anyone? It just seems like...
I don't think he can. I think he thinks he can, though.
Like, I wonder if someone's like, I think I've just been fired. And they're like, no. You're still here.
Yeah, because, like, he's threatening Rodriguez. Like, I'm guessing all the other people he fired, like, he's been told those are the people he's supposed to fire. But I feel like the Rodriguez thing, he was just, like, he knows that everybody knows that he's the firing guy. And so he just threatened Rodriguez. And, you know, Rodriguez doesn't want to take a chance because Dale wouldn't hesitate to fire him. So he's just like, okay, I'll get out of here. Dale's just a jerk in this episode. Like, you start at the beginning feeling sorry for him, and then now you're like, nope, he deserves everything he got. But let's see how this job works out for Dale. So, the next day we're at the office, and Dale's talking to Carl, the janitor, and Dale's like, Carl, what would you do with unlimited free time and no income? Joseph and Nancy come in, and Joseph needs to figure out where the roaches are because his assignment's due soon. And, you know, Dale's like, oh, I don't have time for that. The roaches are in the desk drawer next to Carl's severance check. and then Joseph looks and he goes into the terrarium and it's empty. And he's like, they're gone. And then, you know, Dale's like, can you guys be quiet? I'm trying to be sensitive when firing this dead weight. If you don't behave, I'm going to fire you from this family. And then Nancy's like, Dale, he's like, you're next, Blondie. So then Dale decides to go out and try to find the roaches. He goes out into the break area. And he's like, everybody calm down. Veronica, you're fired. There's a roach situation. Just keep quiet. All of a sudden, just these roaches just pour out of the vents, like just an inhuman amount of roaches. And Dale tries to control it by saying, like, oh, make a single file line and stuff. He's like, the plant's failing. I didn't imprint on them. And so Dale now needs to figure out a way to kill them, but he can't use poison. And he's like, why are there so many ways to kill humans, but only one way to kill bugs? Then he just kind of has an aha moment and starts killing them all with just random things he finds in the office, like letter openers and little stamps that say canceled and stuff. He takes off his jacket, crawls into the vent, and then does like a turbine. He spins around the vent and crushes all the bugs. He falls out. He successfully kills them all. And Joseph's like, man, Dad, you killed all those bugs and you didn't have to use poison. And then that's when Dale realizes, hey, I could go back to bug killing as long as I don't use poison. And he decides to quit, but then, you know, Miss Pittman wants him to stay. It's like, you're one of the best HR people we've had, and I'm going back to when we were Stick Co. And it's like, you know, firing people is a high, but it's not as good as killing things. And so he gets his hat back from Miss Pittman, and as he walks away, he's like, good news, Joseph. You can have your suit back, and the episode ends. So, yeah, I love the episode. I love seeing Dale, and yeah, it was really good. I mean, I just love seeing Dale, and it made it hard for me to like him, because usually he's just kind of a crazy scamp or whatever. Then you start to feel sorry for him because, oh, he lost his job, his dream is killing things and whatnot, being an exterminator, and, you know, he's getting mistreated at work. Then he just all of a sudden becomes a jerk to everybody, and you're like, okay. Nope, Dale deserves everything that's happening to him.
I don't know if Dale deserves everything that's happening to him, but Dale reminds me of a cockroach, I guess. You know, he's always going to find a way. Like, he's adapted that lifestyle of, like, no matter what situation you put me in, eventually I'll make my way up.
I do find it funny that the thing that wound up making him realize that he could, you know, go back to killing again was when he realized, oh, I don't need to kill with poison. However, like, the inciting incident for the episode, he didn't need to kill with poison. Like, he that rat was in grabbing distance. He could have just caught it, you know, if he really wanted to kill it, break its neck. Not that I'm saying he should have broke its neck. Or, alternatively, he could have just, you know, trapped it and let it free in the woods or something.
This is well, Dale. And I mean, like, I feel like later we see Dale just cooking with, not that these are all canonical episodes, but I mean, I do think we see Dale killing with poison again in, like, a few episodes later.
Oh, yeah, like, not even. We start, he's back to killing with poison, so it's like that. I don't know, maybe, like, maybe we can, in our heads, in our headcanon, we can show that maybe he got a different poison, I guess.
Though, how would
maybe
you feel,
on a brand.
Though, how would you feel if you, like, hired an exterminator and they came with, like, a hammer? He's like, I don't do poison anymore. This is how I kill.
Yeah, that would be, well, some do that, but yeah, that would make me a little weird. I don't know if it would make me feel better necessarily, like, oh, poison is just so much more humane or whatever than using a hammer. But at the same time, it would be a little weird. It would be weird if I saw it, like if they just walked into my place holding a hammer like, I'm the exterminator.
I don't know. I'm really glad, though, that we did this Dale episode. I feel like Dale's got some pretty crazy episodes, but I like one where it's not all conspiracy theory-ish. And it's a little more grounded.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Like, this is a Dale-heavy episode, but it is, like, it is grounded in reality. It's not him, like, you know, trying to find aliens or getting to the bottom of some kind of conspiracy or something. It's just him, like, trying to just deal with the mundane life of an office worker.
Yeah, and I mean, it's crazy. It's fun because it's like, we can put this wacky character in a normal situation and see what he does. I guess, even though this isn't that normal, the situation.
No, it isn't. But it is a normal-ish situation. Like, there are absolutely terrible office jobs. Like, I've never worked in a call center, but I've had friends who've worked in them, and they say it's pretty soul-sucking. So, you know, things like that. But beyond that, nah. I think that's a pretty accurate depiction of some office jobs. And also, office job for a person with Dale's skill set. Like, I don't, you know, he's not an accountant. He's not, you know, an executive. He's not any of those types of things. Instead, he is, he's kind of a bottom of the rung type of person doing menial data entry. I mean, almost an entry-level job, or at least that's the impression they give us. But yeah, that's all I have on this episode. What about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, great. Like I always say, great watch. I recommend it. And I think we should grow some cockroaches. Or we don't grow them, we raise them, right?
You can do that on your own. I am not a fan of roaches.
What are you going to do when my roach army is summoned? I mean, we won't attack
Just
you.
Just teach them to ignore me.
To ignore you. They're,
Just teach them to ignore me.
Have you seen Jurassic Park? Or the... You saw... I know, we talked about it. You saw the new Jurassic World movie.
Yep.
I'm going to teach them, like, those raptor things with the laser pointers.
All right. Good luck with that. If you're able to pull that off, I will, like, buy some of those roaches off of you. Let's put it that way.
I gotta find a roach dealer first. So, I guess I don't know.
I don't even think you need to find a dealer. Like, I think just go to, like, go to a ditch or something. Yeah, just go to a ditch or go to the dumpster or whatever and just, like, pick up a box and you'll probably find three or four at the very least.
Oh, man. Well, I will keep you guys updated on my roach journey. We'll see how this goes.
Yes, indeed. So, yeah, so I guess next time we're going to do Traffic Jam, which is, I guess, a Bobby and Hank type episode. It's also a funny one, as a guest star. So until then, I am Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.